if you're able to share data, once you share the data, there's no guarantee that the data, the coverage, or the data that are generated in one state are usable in the other state. In other words, there are subtle differences between the immunization schedules practiced by state. And so what's acceptable in one state may not be acceptable in the other in terms of when the dose is administered and so on. So it isn't just privacy and administrative issues, it's also schedule issues too sometimes.
I think for time we need to go ahead and move on. So, Jim.
Well, thanks a lot, everybody. I'm Dr. Jim Giardino from the Oregon Public Health Division, and I'm going to be talking about methodologic issues of sharing IIS immunization data across states and its effect on vaccination coverage, another long title. I have no relationships to disclose. And how do I... Okay. Until, as you've been hearing, until recently, few IIS routinely share information across jurisdictions, even for those that have resident populations that routinely cross borders and use healthcare in different catchment areas. One thing to understand is, and we started to get into this, is that each IIS is unique. Each was historically developed by specific collaborators within unique circumstances. Each was operated under specific state and local laws and administrative rules. Each is managed by its own unique organizational authority, public versus private, for example. Each might be operated by that authority internally or by a third-party vendor externally. And each may use a specific computer system software that is unique to their location or is shared just by a few states. And each may have its own specific data management processes. And these are terms that are out there, but they're more my terms. For example, a data warehouse model versus an electronic medical records model. I'll say something more about that. So the objectives, today I'm going to be giving a more of a case study of Oregon and Washington's data exchange. So I'm going to provide some overview of the two IIS systems that are exchanging data, describe how a state IIS in Oregon and Washington established and managed our interstate data exchange, then provide an overview of the volume of data exchanged, and then present a snapshot, some snapshot examples of changes in childhood up-to-date immunization rates for certain children in both states. I'm going to get to some lessons learned and some recommendations from our experience, and then outline some questions arising from data exchanges and our snapshot analyses of rate changes. ALERT is a voluntary system. As Laura showed you, there are a lot of inputs to these things. We have private clinics, public clinics, Medicaid, major health plans, IPAs, vital records, tribal and IHS clinics, and now inputs from Washington State's Child Profile Registry. ALERT is a big system. We've got millions of records for the individual children and adolescents, and now we've got adults too, with a lot of immunization shot histories recorded. And we use more of a data warehouse storage model. And what I mean by that, I'm not a technical person, so it may not be the same term that a technical person that deals with data are using, but what we do is we have multiple identifiers and immunization histories linked to those identifiers that are imported and saved in our system. And then as needed, individual immunization histories are merged and created. So that happens throughout the process. Just to tell you a little bit about our Sentinel site, to monitor immunization coverage using ALERT IIS data among children and adolescents, Oregon has hosted a CDC-funded Sentinel IIS surveillance project since the beginning of those projects. Then in 2000, 2004, we joined CDC's formalized network. We started out with a growing 12 zip code area in the greater Portland area from 04 to 07, and you saw some statistics in Laura's talk that came out of that Sentinel site. And then this year we expanded to a 42 zip code area in the most populated Portland metropolitan areas, including the original area. So where are we on the map? This is a map of Oregon. You can take note that the Columbia River is on the northern border between Washington and Oregon. Washington's above Oregon. And our Sentinel area is in Portland, which is in the northwest part of the state. Getting a little closer down on the ground, the shaded areas here, the blue and the yellow, are the 42 zip codes in the Sentinel area that I'm talking about. And you'll notice that the Columbia River is just north of that area, and Clark County, Washington, is just north of that. So crossing the Columbia River, you have Washington's IIS, a child profile. Again, multiple inputs, multiple sources. Notably, they have a large military population, and they have a data sharing agreement with the military health services. And now, at the after our data exchange, they have alert data inputting into their system. Oops. Again, lots of input of immunizations for many individuals, 5.6 million individuals in Washington's case at last count. They use more of an electronic medical records type model. And so what happens is identifiers for individuals and immunization histories from each individual are merged with existing records at the time the data comes into the system. Now, they were careful to tell me that they do keep backup files from the sources, the reporting sources, but they do things up front. Now, we have Oregon and Washington shares about a 500-mile border, separated mostly by the Columbia River, and you may have heard of the Columbia River through Lewis and Clark, their expedition, and the massive hydro electric dam building in the 1930s. Across our border areas, health care services and populations are shared, especially in the populated Portland metropolitan area, which includes Southwest Washington counties. So close to the beginning of both of our systems, partners of ALERT and Child Profile recognize that residents in one state may receive immunizations in the other state, and that would leave gaps in our records. So by the mid-90s, discussions about data exchange began, and that began a whole series of drafting and approving interstate agreements and lots of process. Now, operating under Washington's Health Information Access Law, Washington does not have a specific registry law, so they didn't really need to make any legal changes to their law. However, we needed to make changes to our specific registry law to allow the interstate changes and exchanges, and of course there was no funding involved in implementation. In 2004, the law was changed, the statute was changed, and then administrative rules were changed, and basically this says that the immunization registry, the sharing and the receiving immunization registry have to have as stringent policies related to security and confidentiality. And the authority to make that determination was delegated to the director of ALERT. There was a collaborative team that was formed to basically pull together an interstate agreement from scratch. There were some input documents, I've listed them here, but really they had to start from the ground up. After the draft agreement was in pretty good shape, there was another year of going back and forth between each state's attorneys general offices just to get it right legally. The key areas addressed in the agreement include identifying populations in each state for the data sharing, the confidentiality and security issues, and clarifying data elements to be exchanged. Finally, in May of 06, an agreement was signed, and then there was a celebration afterwards in July of 06, and we can finally exchange data. But we also needed technical procedures. And essentially, this is what type of data, what format of data is being exchanged, and how will the data be exchanged, and what records are being exchanged. For example, records would be exchanged based on patient address. So Washington's Child Profile would send records for any children under the age of 18 in Child Profile with an Oregon address. And Oregon does likewise send records with any child or children in alert with Washington addresses. So starting out, we did some estimating. Alert estimated about 130,000 child records with at least one reported address in Washington. And Child Profile estimated less, about almost 30,000 child records. But one of the key issues was they did not have access to a large regional health plan that only reported to us. So that actually served quite a few Washington clients on the border. And of course, particular attention was spent on how best to update each other's registries. So we initiated with the initial exchanges between Alert and Child Profile. Those happened in two stages. In June of 06, 1.4 million immunization records from one large health plan was transferred up to Child Profile. Followed in 07, later on in 07, about 500 million immunization records went to Child Profile. We estimate in 2007 approximately 80% of the Child Profile records that we received merged with existing records, and another 20% represented new individuals unknown to Alert. Approximately 8% of the immunizations had not been previously reported to Alert. This is a busy slide, but I want to walk you through it. this is for Clark County. This is Child Profile data. And the purple bars, you can see the timeline at the bottom. Before the exchange, then the Alert exchange with data from the large health plan, all the way to the August 07 completion of exchange of all Alert data. So the purple bars are the percent of 19 to 35 month olds estimated that are captured in the registry. And they use census data to make that percentage. And you can see over time greater capture, if you will, estimated capture. The green bars are the percent of records with two or more shots. You've heard discussion about that. And that's also an indication of how complete the records are. And you can see over time, again, it looks like the green bars went up from 55% to close to 90%, a little bit more complete records, presumably. And finally, the red bars are the 43133 up-to-date rates estimated by Washington for this age group, two-year-olds. And you can see the rate went up from 20% to close to 50%. Well, that's very interesting data. However, it's difficult to tease out general increases in reporting, better reporting, from specific increases in that we can attribute to the addition of Alert data in Child Profile. So we thought of a way to take some snapshot views of where we think we might see an actual measure of the benefit of these exchanges in up-to-date rates. So we looked at up-to-date rates for Oregon children with Washington data, and we looked at up-to-date rates for Washington children with Oregon records. And this was a bit of a challenge for Washington. It was great to partner with them. Here's the methods that we used in brief. I'll try to be brief through this, but in Oregon we used our Sentinel data, quarter one of 08, for child residents in the 42 zip code area. Data are extracted about 2 months after the assessment date to allow for reporting catch-up, and then it's taken through the deduplication process or standard process. And then we go out and capture the immunization records through using codes to identify the immunizations. Now, to do the assessment that we wanted to do, we had to go back to the records and link back and then identify and select only child records with at least one Washington demographic record reported by Child Profile. Then we queried for reporting source, and basically looking for whether the source of the immunization was from Child Profile or another reporting source. And similarly, Washington extracted Child Profile for all child records statewide from 0 to 6 later in October. So they literally just did this. And we're just taking a look at these data. We counted children with at least one address in the other state and unique vaccines. And then we also looked at unique immunizations and unique vaccine visits. Then we calculated 431-331 combined up-to-date rates for the 19 to 35-month-olds with and without data from the other IIS. And there were some methodologic issues. I'm going to skip over that, but bring them up later. So from our perspective in Oregon, we identified 29-51 0-to-6-year-olds with at least one Washington Child Profile demographic ID among the approximately 100,000 0-to-6 children that were 0-to-6 within the Sentinel area in this time period. Of those children, 89% had at least one immunization reported by Child Profile, and 2,200 had at least one unique immunization reported by Child Profile. So essentially you can think of it as a net gain of 75% new records for that for those child records, or those child records. Now, there was 875 who were 19 to 35-month-olds with at least one Child Profile demographic record among the 24,000 kids of that age group. And also, we identified 15,000 unique immunizations, that's the 0 to 6, among the 0 to 6 group, and 48 vaccine visits only reported by Child Profile among 1,600 children who were 0 to 6. So, what did you say? Just to look at this for a minute. So, to simplify it a little bit, 100,000 children, 0 to 6 in the Sentinel area. The warm colored pies, pieces of pie here, are the 19 to 35-month-olds, and the yellow sliver is the 875 group of kids that had at least one Child Profile record that we identified, demographic record. So of those group, of that 875 group, without Child Profile data, the up-to-date rate was 36.7%. Adding back the Child Profile data, the rate went up to 61.5%. And that was an absolute rate increase of 25% and close to 70% increase in rate. We looked at antigen-specific rates, and I'll summarize here. Overall, there were increases, but there were different increases for different antigens. About 25% was the mean percent increase, but there was a range. So, for example, for the hepatitis B, that's around the birth dose, there was just an increase of 14%. That's a pretty good increase, but a 65% increase for hepatitis B3 rates. So, and it looked like the trend was that for the kids that were older getting other getting the shots due when they're older, the rate increases were more significant, were bigger. Same type of pie chart for Washington. Now we're talking about everybody, all the 0 to 6 children in the state at this point in time, 500,000, they identified the sliver, the yellow sliver, of 4,285 that had alert demographic records. And so we're going to take a look at those. And so here's the 4,285 kids that were 19 to 35-month-olds with at least one child or alert record. Of those, 97% had at least one immunization reported by alert, and 3,700 had at least one unique immunization reported by alert. That represented about an 86%, 87% net gain in new records for that child for those child records. And 72% of the immunizations were unique, were uniquely reported by alert among the 2.3 million immunizations received from alert for the, again, that's for the 0-6 group. So what did the up-to-date rates look like for Washington? Well, they started out at 55% without alert data, and the rate went up to 67% with alert data added back. And that represents about a 12% absolute rate difference, and a less, not as dramatic relative increase of 22%. So what did we learn when we did the data exchange? Exchanges are another needed stitch in the fabric for solving the scattered immunization records problem. Although Oregon and Washington's interstate agreement has worked pretty well, we have some recommendations. And those include, we would really benefit, IIS would really benefit if CDC or NVAC, the National Vaccine Advisory Committee, would lead action to create a blanket interstate agreement or memorandum of understanding for exchanges among all states. And I think CDC has been working on that. Data quality functional standards should be identified prior to exchanges. The certification process to standardize and understand what's in a registry that Gary was mentioning would really be helpful, and that would help pave the way and make it easier to do these things. Funding would certainly be helpful to ease the burden on states to implement these agreements, and of course, increased use of more standard software would make it easier to exchange data, of course. Couple more thoughts. It seems clear that data from one IIS helped to complete child records in other IIS in cross-border areas. I think that's important. Our first snapshot look leaves us with more questions. The extent of data improvement is still unclear. Only data from those with known addresses in other states are exchanged, at least for our group. So some cross-border records may still be missing if new state residence is not reported. The original source clinics and health plans, and this is what I was telling you earlier, are not shared with the receiving IIS. So child profile would be the source in records that come from child profile. So we don't know who the reporting providers are. If some immunizations are already in the receiving IIS, are histories reported by subsequent providers, but the new shared records are actually from the original providers, we might be undercounting unique primary immunizations gained from the other IIS. We talked a little bit about vaccine deduplication. That probably might account for some of the differences in the rate changes that we started to look at. That still needs to be looked at. There are some differences in the snapshot rates that you looked at that may reflect less complete reporting in some areas, so that if there's less reporting, there's not going to be an increase in immunization rates just simply because we don't know about them, or immunization records, and so we don't know about those immunizations. There might be differences in cross-border provider use and migration. We were, wondering about the difference. You know, Washington looked statewide. We looked at a smaller area. Is the health service sharing more consistent or data reporting more complete near Oregon's Sentinel area, so that when there are new records, we're capturing them, and then our rates went up, at least for the children that we were talking about. And of course, there were some methodologic differences between the way we calculated rates. So let me leave you with a couple of things. Something to wonder about. Would up-to-date rate improvements for older cross-border children be even more greater, since past reporting to IIS was not as were not as complete as currently are, so that now if we look back, we actually may see a more dramatic increase for the older children in these border areas that have records, that share records across states. We talked a little bit earlier, assessing the moved or gone elsewhere records, the kids that are moving to other states. That's been a problem for most IIS, and here we have with the data exchange some information about where they're moving, and we need to do a little bit more assessment. We can take a look at that, Steve. I hope we can start looking at that soon. And providers in one state really won't have access to immunization records in the other state. So even with the data exchanges, there's still a challenge for providers being able to get the information when they need it from the different IIS and other immunization sources. Thanks. I know I threw a lot out at you. Yes. What's it? Sure. Well, we've been very concerned within the state. We've been looking at movement of kids, but now we can start looking at interstate movement, at least between Washington and Oregon, and get a sense. Our providers, you know, unless they make an effort, don't really tell us when they get information when a kid leaves. So that's the issue. Yeah, I know about the standards. They're really good standards. Thanks. Oh, Steve. Yeah, I've done some thinking about this, and I think I was thinking about the scenario where the state that the area in the state that you're looking at, the state IIS across that's sharing the data did a better job in capturing records, and so if they did, and the reporting wasn't so good at the time when your state collected the data, you'd probably have an increase. But I can see it going the other way. If both areas didn't do a good job capturing, it's not going to matter. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I was getting very confused in the last couple of days thinking about this, but I think I got it. It's hard stuff. This is hard stuff.
One more Kaiser?
Yeah, it was Kaiser. Well, I don't know the history, but we got Kaiser very involved very early, and they are great partners and shared data quite well. I don't know what the issues for Child Profile were. I think maybe it had to do with kind of building up to making sure that they had providers that were reporting within their own state. I don't know if you remember that one slide, but right in the middle of the data exchange, I didn't point it out, was Child Profile captured another Southwest Washington provider, huge provider that wasn't reporting. So it started to get mixed up in terms of the effect. But yeah, I think that now that we know that that people go across border and in areas like Portland, where they're traditionally these large health plans are based in one area. That I know Washington was aware of it, but what they could do about it and when they started to try to do something about it, I don't know that history. But I think it's good that IIS really need to look across the border and see who the big players are and get them in, or else work with the state across the border and get those records. I can tell you that this is not perfect. I don't know if we've done a good study of this, but I'm an epidemiologist, so when I arrive when the data is in there in the system and trying to make sense out of it, the way Washington works is there is a demographic report form, if you will, or if it's reported electronically. So providers or health plans could report demographic changes when they are aware of it, and for a local provider that's using paper, it's hit or miss. When will they report it? What do they have in place to do that? So probably they wouldn't capture, unless they're going to the doctor or their clinic, and that information is being recorded in the chart, and then somebody comes along and says, okay, we need to get this into the registry. It probably wouldn't. I think eventually we'd capture those kids if the provider is reporting more completely. But we probably wouldn't capture all the different moves, and we might lose some people. Like I said, there are some, if the kid crosses the border for services, or moved and is still seeing the same provider, and the provider just hasn't bothered, or the parent hasn't bothered to say there's been a change, we won't know about the change. Thanks.